And I'm pleased to say my guest this afternoon, Martin Young, has arrived. A very good afternoon to you, Martin.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming in. Now, you're a chef, aren't you?
I was a chef, yeah.
Oh, you were.
Or am or was, whatever way you want to look at it.
And you had an accident. What happened there?
Well, basically, it was, when you say accident at work, people always think of, you know, the no win, no fee. Someone's fallen over a puddle and broken their leg. It wasn't like that. Literally, we had some under-counter fridges bent down and my leg popped. Basically, torn meniscus.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, which led to something called osteochondritis dissecans, which is basically Latin for quit chefing and become an unpaid author.
And also Spanish for painful, by the sound of it.
Very Spanish for painful. It was very painful, yeah.
Now then, so there you are, you've injured your leg, and you decide to write a book, don't you?
I do, yeah. Well, basically, being a chef, you have routines, and once I hurt my leg, the routines were basically just getting up. I had nothing to do, so I wanted something to channel some creativity and just have a reason to get up in the morning, because it can get, you know, quite depressing. So yeah, so I decided, you know, I'd already written a book in lockdown, and I didn't really get to the end of it, and then went back to work, so I didn't really finish it. So I decided to, you know, start again, different story, and yeah.
Ah, great. Now then, what's the book called?
It's called Birds of a Feather, not to be confused with the classic sitcom.
No.
No, don't buy that.
And what's it about?
Well, it's basically a tale of revenge, really. It's about four women who have had difficulties with domestic abuse and things like that. And they decide, they meet in a support group in London, and they decide to take revenge on their abusers. And yeah, and it just follows the story of how that pans out, and they're changing reflections on their abuse, and, you know, and the revenge part of it, and whether they actually want to go through with it in the end.
So it's a very serious subject. You did say to me before it's a little bit on the dark side.
It is a little bit on the dark side. The prologue, yeah, I won't go into it, but it is a little on the dark side. But it's not all dark. There is some humour in it. I like to add a bit of humour. I'd rather write comedy, if I'm honest. You know, I prefer to write comedy, because writing a dark story like that actually does take a bit of a toll on you as well. But yeah.
What gave you the idea for this book then?
I've always been fascinated with the monster. So if you watch a crime documentary, no one wants to see someone getting hurt. They want to see the guy who did it at the end. And I'm always fascinated in the psychology of what makes people do the heinous things that they do. So, you know, people don't watch Jaws to see him chewing up someone. They want to see the shark. And it's that sort of thing. So I've always been fascinated with true crime. I just want to see the interview of the guy at the end. You know, I want to see the monster. And it's just about nature versus nurture, really. So I like to sort of, in my books, I like to, even though these people are very bad in it, there's always a reason for it. No one was born that way. Do you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, something that often strikes me when you hear about these not very nice people. Yeah. And you've written it from the female perspective, haven't you?
Yeah, I just think writing from a female perspective just gives it more layers. I mean, let's face it, men are pretty black and white, aren't they? Mm. We, you know, there's a couple of things we like: food, football, beer. Whereas women, there's a lot more emotion when you're writing from the perspective of the woman. I mean, I'm not saying I know everything about women, because obviously I'm not a woman, but there's just more layers, more emotion, and you can go to different places with it, I think.
And have you, has any female read it yet and given you any feedback?
Well, yes, I sent it to three or four of my female friends and my mother. Mixed reviews, well, no, not mixed, actually, all the same. Dark, and yeah, some of the girls that I gave it to couldn't read it. It is a hard read in some places, not all the way through, but it depends on your personality. If you like that sort of thing, that genre of thing, some women love that sort of thing, dark sort of crime documentaries and stuff like that. Men and women love that, but some people don't. You know, it's subjective, really. And so yeah, the feedback generally is a bit too dark for the people I've sent it to, but let's just see what the wider audience says, really.
Well, it takes all sorts, doesn't it?
It takes all sorts.
Yeah. What was your first bit, the one that you didn't finish? What was that about?
Oh, God, what was that about? That was terrible. I sent it to my mum, and she was like, that is really awful, really amateurish. And it was. I went back and looked at it, because I had it saved on a file, and I went back and looked on it, and it, again, yeah, it was dreadful. Mm. Compared to this, it was absolutely terrible. I think I was just trying to fill time in the pandemic, not really concentrating on it. But basically, the idea behind that one was, again, a girl running away from a childhood issue. issue, and I think it had a little bit of revenge in it as well. So I think this one was spawned maybe a bit from that one, but that one was a bit more of a comedy. It wasn't quite as dark. But in the end, I wrote myself down a cul-de-sac and couldn't find an ending. So,
yeah, because I think most of the big, you know, famous authors, it does take quite a few attempts, doesn't it, to get the book right? You know, different drafts.
Different drafts. I mean, I must have done for this book, I must have done 10 or 12 different drafts, and then the editing process takes longer, if not as long as the book. You know, and that's the to be honest, the writing wasn't the hard bit. The editing, which I had a lot of help with, my uncle helped me edit it, and the formatting to get it onto like Kindle, it's quite hard. Yeah, it's amazing how bad your English is when you write 70,000 words. You even realise, actually, yeah, not great.
Absolutely. I suppose at least it's a bit easier these days with technology. In the old days, you'd have sat there with a typewriter or something like that and had to type it all again, wouldn't you?
To be honest, I wouldn't. If it was typewriters, I wouldn't have even tried, because it would take so long. I mean, I've got tools and editing equipment and bits and pieces, and it automatically comes up when you've made a spelling mistake. Yeah. I mean, with a typewriter, I don't know what Agatha Christie was doing, but her fingers must have been blistered.
Yeah. Is it easy to get a book on Kindle?
It's quite easy. I mean, there is various levels of professionalism on there. I mean, there's quite a lot of self-help. Kindle's good for self-help books, things like that, DIY and stuff like that. They're not always the greatest, but it's quite easy to upload and get it on there. Use Kindle Create, which is a tool that they have, which helps the formatting, which I used in the end. I wish I'd known about it a month ago, but I used it in the end. It's fairly easy.
Because they do say there's a book in all of us, don't they?
There is a book in all of us. I think there is. I think it's, I've spoke to a friend of mine recently who said he wanted to write a book. It takes a lot of dedication. I mean, I've probably spent as much time writing as I did with research. The research for each thing is very difficult.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So you have gone into it and
you have to, because when you're writing a description, that's probably one of the hardest parts of the writing, is describing different places. And if you haven't been there, you have to use the tools that you've got at your fingertips. So a lot of searching for things and how things were done. My book is set in the 80s, so you know, at one point I had someone on a mobile phone. Well, obviously in the 80s that was just, you know, so yeah, I had to sort of be really careful about what
that was science fiction in the 80s.
It was just unheard of, wasn't it? So a lot of the reason I set it in the 80s was because the stuff that goes on in the book just wouldn't happen now, because there's so much CCTV, you wouldn't get away with any of it. Luckily, I mean, now we're in 2025, there's probably a lot less of the sort of horrible stuff that goes on, even though it still happens, because of all the technology, DNA, all that sort of thing. Well, that wasn't a thing, but in the 80s, in DNA, you turn up at a crime scene, no such thing.
Absolutely. And when you're writing, do you have like a routine? Do you, you know, spend so many hours or so many thousand words each day?
Absolutely. I try to get 2,000 to 3,000 words done a day. So I get up at sort of 8 o'clock, have breakfast. I'm writing by 9 always. So at 9 o'clock I start writing, and then I finish at 12 and go for a walk with my lovely girlfriend Andrea. Shout out to Andrea. She goes for a walk with me at 12 till 1, and then I get back and I write till about 3, 4, and that's every day. And I try and get 2,000 to 3,000 words done, but some days I might write a paragraph and then I might delete it at the end of the day because I'm just not happy with it. You have to be, you know, read it and reread it and be happy with it, because if it doesn't sound like writing, then...
So you have been treating it like a job.
I've been treating it like a job. It's the best unpaid job I've ever had.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there plans to maybe have hard copies?
To have hard copies, yeah. That'd be great. I mean, with the next book's called The Family Tree. It's quite dark. It's another thriller, but slightly different. It's introducing a character called Emily Sharp, who's a bipolar detective. Recently divorced, she's going through some issues, and she gets promoted to a case that is pretty grim. So I'd like to get that traditionally published, because although it's very easy to do at Kindle, it's not exactly profitable. To be traditionally published, you obviously get given a retainer and all that sort of thing, and then it goes into like Waterstones and all the bookshops, and they do the cover, they do all the editing, which means I wouldn't have to do it. So yeah, that would be ideal, and I want this to be a series of books with the same character. So this one won't follow on from the book I've done at the moment. But yeah, it'd be great to have it in hard. I mean, who wants to not want to see their own book on their bookshelf? Great,
absolutely great, wouldn't it? You know, walk in the bookshop and see up there on the
shelf.
That's
the dream, isn't it? To see your own book, you know, and then 6 months later to see it in a charity shop for a quid. That's the dream.
as long as it's not straight in the charity
exactly,
shop for a quid.
Yeah, well, pulped. That's the worst thing.
So, Martin, how do people get hold of your book?
Well, just go onto Amazon, type in Birds of a Feather by Martin Young, and make sure you put the by Martin Young bit into, because otherwise you will end up with Pauline Quirk and Linda Robson. Just go to Amazon. If you've got a Kindle, whatever, you can go onto there. I have put a link on my socials, people know it.
Lovely. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
And when you're a bestseller, come back and see us.
The next book, I'll certainly come back and see you.
Lovely. Thanks.